Today, if you would, to the book of Matthew and chapter 10. Chapter 10. I don't know what's happening to my voice, but something's happening to it, so I hope we'll get through the service tonight. As you're turning to Matthew chapter 10, verse 39, we want to welcome visiting tonight is David Cornelius from Derrick City, PA, and he goes to Bradford Baptist Church, Pastor Mills, and so we're glad to have him with us. He's a friend of Brian's. Both you men and Josiah, we're glad you're here too. Thank you for coming and being part of our service. All right, Matthew chapter 10, I'm going to read verse 39. Jesus said, "He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for being so good and gracious and kind and merciful to us. As undeserving as we are, and yet you love us with a great love, a love that was willing to give your only begotten Son to be our Savior. And Father, tonight we ask that by your Holy Spirit you would open the lips of your servant to speak in the heart of every person watching, listening, and in this place. Open our hearts to the Word of God. Help us to see good things out of your Word. Father, give us some gems to take home. Give us some things to apply in our life. I just pray you'd bless my Father and that you might glorify yourself, magnify your Son, edify your people, and save the lost. We'll thank you for what you do and what you give us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want to find your life, you have to lose it. That doesn't sound logical, but then it is spiritual. The Lord is speaking about living the Christian life, the Christ life. That is a life that is dedicated to and directed by the Lord Jesus Christ and not we ourselves. We can live our own Christian life or we can live the Christian life that God wants us to live. The Lord Jesus put it this way in Luke chapter 22, verse 42. He said, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And so Jesus said, there's my will, and there's the Father's will, and if they coincide, praise the Lord, but if they're going in different directions, I want God's will to be worked out. We try to plan our lives, and planning is good, and planning is wise. However, our plans must not be so dear to us or so set in stone that we have planned God's will out of our plans. We can only surmise what will happen, but God knows what will happen. We can only guess at what might be, but God knows what will be. Solomon put it this way in Proverbs 27:1, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." James put it this way in James 4:14, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow." But he does. Jesus does. For our application tonight, I want to ask ourselves what we are doing with our life. What are you doing with your life? With that new life that Jesus gave you when you got saved. What are you doing with it? Our life is likened unto a seed. And here's a man who has a seed. And he has options as to what he's going to do with this seed. He can keep it, or he can lose it. And by losing it, we mean he lets it go into the earth. If he keeps it, he has it. He has full control over that seed, doesn't he? He can see where it is. He knows where it is. He knows what it's doing. But if he loses it into the earth, he loses control of the seed. That's what Jesus is talking about. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 25, the man can save his life, that is, put it in a safe place, or he can lose it by again committing it to the earth where he cannot see it or control it. Turn with me to John chapter 12. Keep your place here. John chapter 12, if you would, please. Look with me at verse 26. Jesus saying the same thing, but he says it this way. In verse 25 of chapter 12, it says, "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." Here the Lord directly in verse 26 connects this loving and hating and saving and losing to serving Him. Look what it says, "If any man serve me." So He's talking about loving your life or hating your life, saving your life or losing your life, and now He directs it right into serving. "If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." That's what He meant when He said, "For my sake" in Matthew 10, and "my sake" in Matthew 16. See, you save your life, or you can lose it for His sake. You can keep it for your sake, or you can lose it for His sake. You can keep it to serve yourself, or you can lose it to serve Him. That's what He's talking about. Are you living your life for His sake or for your own sake? Are you truly serving Him, or are you really serving your own interests? Your life is like that seed the man had. You can want to have and control your own life so much that you love it and save it by keeping it for yourself. Or you can love it less and lose it to the will of God and trust Him with what happens to it and with what it brings forth. You get the picture? The one you will enjoy for a little while. If you save your life, you save your own will, you can enjoy it for a little while. But your life is like a what? Vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away. But if you lose your will in His will, you'll lose your life to His life, then you will not lose anything because you have it unto eternal life. You follow me here, everybody? You with me? All right, so with this application, let's look at three things. Number one, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Keep the idea of the seed. Your life is a seed that you can keep and control, or you can bury it in the earth. You can surrender it to the will of God and let Him control. So our first point tonight is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and the point is this: the potential of the seed. Now, what is the seed? Your life. So actually, I'd be saying the potential of your life. The potential of the seed. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35. "But some man will say, 'How are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come?' Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it" what? "Die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased Him, and to every seed his own body." Every seed has potential. But that potential will never be realized until the seed is planted in the ground and allowed to die in order to bring forth something better. So if we want to bring forth something better, we've got to die to self. The Christian must be willing to die to self or crucify self in order to allow the potential of God's will to be perfected in his or her life. You will never be all that God wants you to be or experience all that he has for you to experience if you're not willing to be more than just a seed. As far as the man keeps that seed, it's nothing but a seed. But once that seed dies, or once that seed's planted, now it can bring forth something better. When we will die to ourself and allow ourselves to be planted in the will of God, He will bring forth something better out of us than we can be by ourselves. The man in Matthew chapter 10, verse 39, found his life because he was willing to lose it. In other words, he was willing to plant his seed in the will of God to see what would come forth. Now, sometimes you might have a seed and you don't know what it is. People keep seeds in jars and they keep them in bags and they keep them in sacks. And sometimes you find some seeds, you don't know what they are until you plant it in the ground. And then all of a sudden, boom, there it comes up. And go, oh, wow, that's cool, right? You never know what's in your life. You don't know what's in your life. You don't know what your potential is. You have no clue. But God does. God says, why don't you let me have you? Why don't you let me bring forth your potential? If you'll let me have it, it'll be better than you ever could make it of yourself. Now go with me to Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. Galatians chapter 6, look at verse 8. The Bible says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Sowing to the flesh. That means you live your life your way, according to your will, according to your plans. That's what's predominant. This is the Christian who lives a shallow Christian life and submits to the will of God so long as it is convenient, so long as it is comfortable, so long as it is compatible with my own will. Huh? And so a lot of Christians are this way. They go to church, they do this, they do that, they talk, they sound like Christians, they talk like Christians, they are Christians. And everything's cool as long as it goes along with what they want. See? And when it becomes inconvenient, their will takes over, not God's. When it becomes uncomfortable, their will takes over, not God. When it isn't compatible with their will, they drop God's will. Carnal-mindedness. Allowing the flesh to dictate your direction and your decisions. And according to this verse, all you can expect to reap is the consequences of the corrupted sinful nature. The fruit of your life will only decay when you live your life like this, and it will pass away. When this life passes over, then it's gone. Because you sowed to the flesh. Now, the second thing in here is sowing to the Spirit. This means that you're concerned with God's way and God's will and God's word. That's what's predominant in your life. This is a Christian who truly wants God's will in his or her life and is willing to grow and change and submit to God's will. They're sowing to the Spirit. This is spiritual mindedness. This is of the renewed mind. Allowing the Spirit to dictate your direction and your decisions. And what can you expect to reap, according to this verse? The fruit of righteousness. The righteousness of the new man, which will remain for all eternity. And so the fruit of the Christian who is sowing to the flesh, they can have a good time for a while, but their life is like a vapor that vanishes away, and all that they produced in this life will end with this life. But the Christian who sows to the Spirit is going to have the fruit of righteousness, and when this life is over, that fruit keeps going on. See the difference? It's having a long view. 2 Corinthians 9:10 says this, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, here it is, and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Amen. So I'm taking my life, I'm the seed, right? And I can sow this seed to the flesh for my own will, and I'll reap the corruption that is in this world. And the fruit will be for a season. Or I can sow this seed to the Spirit, and of the Spirit I can have fruit of righteousness in my life that God will multiply unto life eternal. It goes with me. There's one more sowing. And it's sowing to the wind. Hosea 8:7 says, for they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. And I think this is a picture of the man who is too lazy to dig in the earth. He's too lazy to make a row. So instead, he just goes out and tosses the seeds in the air. and lets the wind take them wherever they go and wherever they land. And this is the Christian that just doesn't care. They're not willing to commit. They're not willing to submit. And they're not willing to admit their spiritual laziness. And he or she can expect the whirlwind. What is that whirlwind? It means storms, turbulence, troubles. You see, there is potential in your life. Potential for God's best. Or potential for less than God's best. Or even potential for bad. God wants you to invest your life by losing it to His will. By planting it in His hand. Where you cannot see it. And you have to trust it to Him and allow Him to bring forth the fruit He knows is best. But this requires faith and it requires trust. Only God knows what your potential is. And only He can bring it forth out of the seed when it is lost or planted in His will. That's the potential of the seed. Number two, go with me to Genesis chapter 1. Point number two, they have the potential of the seed, so the potential of your life. But then you have the, number two, the power of the seed. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind. And the tree yielded fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. So what came first? The seed or the tree? The tree. The fruit came first. And the seed was in the fruit. The seed had power to bring forth more fruit. Now, how did that power get in there? God put it in there. Think about that. God put the power in the seed to be able to produce something greater than itself. There is a power in the seed, the power of life. Every seed has power, and every life has power. There is power in a small acorn to produce a mighty oak. There is power in a grape seed to produce a vine with clusters of grapes. There is power in a kernel of corn to produce stalks with ears. Now you can't see all that in that little kernel. You can't see all that in that little seed. But it's in there. That great big tree is in that little tiny acorn. God sees it, and God put it in there. That's the potential of the seed. The potential of the seed is because of the power of the seed. Each of these seeds needs the nutrition of the earth and the rain from heaven and the warmth of the sun in order to produce. The power is there. But it must be nourished. Every life has power in it. Your life has power in it. Are you born again? Are you a Christian? You have power. We'll look at it in just a second. But every life has power. Even unsaved life has power. It has power to do. It has power to influence. It has power to witness. It has power to glorify God. It has power to be an example. These are powerful things. These are the kinds of power that change history and chart the course of nations. The power and potential of one life. For the Christian life to bring forth the fruit of the power within it, it must be fed with the milk and the meat and the water of the Word of God. You see, you are the seed. And you have this power, this tremendous potential that God knows is in you. Because He put it in you. And you have the power to reach that potential. But in order for that power to come forth, it has to be nourished with the Word of God. Just like that seed. It must know the warmth of the presence of God and the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit and the blessing of the Son. The Son of God. Now, every Christian life has the power for a good harvest or a bad harvest. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, your life has the power. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now he's talking about sowing and reaping in kind. You planted today, yesterday. And you are planting your future today. You got it? Whatever you put in the Christian life is what you can expect to get out of the Christian life. If you put carnality in, you'll get carnality out. If you are lazy in your Christian life, you'll get laziness out. If you put mediocrity in, you'll get mediocrity out. If you put spirituality in, you'll get spirituality out. If you sow industriousness, you'll get rewards. If you sow excellence, you'll receive excellence. If you sow generosity, you will get generosity. If you sow stinginess, then you will reap stinginess. If you sow friendliness, then you will reap friendliness. That's the principle. God says there's power. You can plant a good crop or you can plant a bad crop. It's up to you. Now, if you've been planting a bad crop, you're going to have to reap it in. Maybe you're watching or listening tonight. Maybe you're sitting here and you realize, I've planted a bad crop. I've been sowing to the flesh. I have been sowing unfriendliness. I've been sowing stinginess, whatever. You're going to have to reap that crop in. It's coming. You understand? You say, well, it hasn't hurt me so far. It's coming. That's right. But don't be so discouraged, because while you're reaping in the bad crop that you sowed yesterday, you can plant a good crop today that you can reap in the future. Amen. Isn't that awesome? And so we are going to reap in kind. Whatever you invest your life in and whatever you invest your Christian life doing, that's what you're going to reap back to yourself. So you're going to get in kind, but also in quantity. 2 Corinthians 9:6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So not only will I reap what I sow in kind, I will reap what I sow in quantity. So if I sow a little bit, guess what I'm going to get? A little bit. But if I sow a lot, guess what I'm going to get? A lot. That just look, you have a field, right? You have a 20-acre field. And so you go out and you spread one handful of seeds in a 20-acre field. Don't expect the whole 20-acre field to come up with crops. Right? Or you're going to get to that little spot. But if you'll go out there and sow bountifully in that 20-acre field, then you're going to reap in more than 20 acres worth of seed, won't you? Aren't you glad that when you plant a seed, just the seed don't come up? You can give it your all, or you can hold back. You can get all in, or you can straddle the fence. You can run, or you can walk. You can be serious or you can be trifling, but you will reap accordingly. There is power in the new life in Christ. You received it. You received that power when you received Him. The Bible says, and ye shall receive power After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me. That power is resident within you right now, wherever you sit. You received the power when you received Him. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Power, and of love, and of a sound mind." You have all the power within you to reach the potential that God has for you. It's all a matter of want to. You can allow that power to be exhibited in your life, or you can quench it, stifle it, and resist it. And so, there is potential in that seed, because there's power in that seed. When you receive Christ as your Savior, you got a power to take you to a potential you never had before. Follow me? Your potential was this, naturally. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, you got the power to go, who knows, to do things you could have never done without Jesus, to be somebody you could have never been without Jesus. And the third point tonight is in James chapter 5, verse 7. The potential of the seed, the power of the seed. James chapter 5, verse 7, the profit of the seed. James 5, 7. "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain." The husbandman is a farmer. And I want you to notice that he needed patience. The seed does not bring forth its fruit immediately. That'd be fun. You throw the seed in the, put the seed in the ground, poof. An oak tree. Woo! I mean, I'd get back. I'd get one of them selfie sticks and put that seed on one of them selfie sticks and put it over there. He said, "No, it doesn't work that way." He says, "You know what? The husbandman has to have patience. The farmer has to have patience. He puts that little seed in the ground and then he waits. And he waits. And he waits, and he waits, and he waits, and he waits. Finally, something pokes up through the ground, that little green sprout. And then he's got to wait some more until the whole stalk comes up. Then he's got to wait some more for the ear to form. Then he's got to wait some more for the ear to ripen." He has to have patience. As a Christian, we must be careful not to get frustrated or discouraged because things do not seem to be happening fast enough. Our concern should be centered on being profitable for the Master. See, we have this mindset as human beings that life is supposed to be profitable for me. That's what it's all about in the world, isn't it? To be profitable for me. Be profitable for me. But as the seed, as the new life in Christ, as we're supposed to be concerned about being profitable for Him. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, "For ye are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry." That means you're God's little tree. That means you're God's little branch. And Jesus said in John 15:8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." God wants you to bear much fruit. And He's given you the power. And He's given you the potential. And the word husbandry literally means tillage. Ye are the Lord's tillage. Proverbs 28:19, "He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough." What's God saying? God said, "I want you to be tilling. I want you to be working. I want you to be investing. I want you to be serving." Here's the Christian who is a doer of the word, a worker, a studier, who needeth not to be ashamed. Here's the Christian who takes his Christian responsibilities seriously and serves the Lord. Now here's the truth. The truth is we are servant sons. We're servant sons. Proverbs 10:5, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Which son are you? Are you the son who is working, the son who is serving, the son who's out in the Father's field, the son who's about the Father's business, the son who's trying to be profitable to the Master? Are you the one that's sleeping during the harvest? Oh yeah, there's stuff to be done, but I'm going to stay in bed. Oh yeah, there's soul winning to do, but I'm going to stay in bed. Oh, I know there's church work to be done, I'm going to stay in bed. Oh, I know I should get up and go, oh, I'm going to stay in bed. I know. He says, that's the kind of son that causes shame. I know what it means to be a son that causes shame. Because I caused a lot of shame to my earthly father. Growing up as a teenager, I brought a lot of shame to him, and I regret it to this day. But I did it ignorantly. I don't want to bring shame to my heavenly father. I don't want to be so lazy about the Christian life that I'm slumbering through. I'm sleepwalking as a Christian. We're to bear fruit and be profitable servants for our Father. His seed, the Bible says, remaineth in us. As we are partakers of the divine nature, and that seed has potential and power, and it's meant to be profitable. It should be the desire of everyone who names the name of Christ to be found a good and faithful steward at His coming. You know, there's so many people today who are, they're all about being sons of God, but they're not too concerned about being servants of God. And God says, that's what you're supposed to do as my son. You're a servant son. God's not just a... He's so multifaceted. He's our Father. He's our Master. He's our Captain. He's our Shepherd. You understand? All those relationships we have with Him. We can't just single out one and say, well, I'm so glad I'm a son of God. No, you're a servant too, so start serving. You're a sheep too, so start following. You're a soldier, so start obeying. We're servant sons. Your life is a seed, and you can save it for yourself, or you can plant it in the earth of God's will. You can manage it for yourself with meager results, or you can trust Him with it and by faith allow Him to unleash the power of the potential and bring forth the eternal profit. Amen. You can work in the Father's field, or you can work your own field. You can be about the Father's business, or you can be about your own business. You can be a wise son or a shameful son. It's up to you. But if you want to experience the power, and you want to know the potential, and you want to be profitable, it will require that you lose your life to Him so you can find the life He has for you. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. As Christians here tonight, we should all be concerned with this. We talk about the Lord coming soon and we're all excited about Jesus is coming. We look around the world and we say, surely the return of the Lord must be near. But my dear friends, what's it going to be like when we meet Him face to face? So how is it with you? Are you all in or halfway? James asked this question, what is your life? I want to ask you the same question, what is your life? Will you continue to manage it or will you give it over to Jesus? Will you save it for yourself or will you lose it to Him? Are you sowing to the flesh, the wind, or to the Spirit? Will you hear well done or will you hear shame on you? Maybe tonight you just need to make a decision about something. You need to move in a different direction. Maybe tonight you just need to come and say, Lord, I want to lose my life to you so I can have the life you have for me. Maybe tonight you need to come and say, Lord, I want to reach the potential that you have for me by the power that you've put in me so I can be profitable. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. God has no servants who are not his sons. If you think that you're serving God and have never been born again, then you are mistaken. Because Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If you think that you're living for God and have never been saved by God's grace, you are deceived. Jesus said, you must be born again. And in John 1, 12 and 13, the Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which are born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What about you? Have you been born again? Are you saved? If not, that's the greatest need you have. Above all other needs. Because the difference between heaven and hell rests in the answer to the question, have you been born of God by grace through faith in Christ? Father, we thank you tonight for this time together. And Father, surely as we hear these things, all of our hearts and lives are challenged to one degree or another. It's so easy to go with the flow. It's so easy to follow the flesh. Forgive us, my Father. Help us to understand we have potential far beyond our seed to be something greater than we are by the power of God that is resident within us by the Holy Spirit. And Father, we might be profitable and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Help us, Lord, tonight. We'll give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Bless us, you can, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing our closing hymn, number 546. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Maybe tonight you'd like to come and do that in prayer. Maybe you'd like to come tonight and just spend a few moments with the Lord and say, Lord, I needed to talk to you about this, and I've been putting it off. I'm not going to put it off any longer. I want to reach the potential. I want to know the power. I want a life that's profitable for you. Maybe you need to come tonight and lose your life in His. Plant your seed in the hand of God and allow Him to make of you something you could never be alone. We're going to sing, You Come. And if you have never trusted Christ as your Savior and you have questions about eternal life, why don't you come and see me? We'd like to help you. We'll show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you're going to heaven when you die.